Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and much happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we will be able to do this. I'm sorry if I'm talking fast, but I'm so excited today. We have a wonderful, two wonderful guests on, Elisa Methus and Jamie Butler, her friend, who've been in contact with Elisa's son, Eric, on the other side for many years. They've written a wonderful book called My Son and the Afterlife by Elisa, and we'll be going over that book. And I'm told, and Eric just, her son Eric just popped in, and he's here too, and now the studio has completely lit up in beautiful white light. So we have a very crowded place today, and I know this is going to be a very, very profound show. Before we begin, I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including the Inspired Crystal and Spiritual Shop at 765 Broadway in Tacoma, Brady's Oysters in Westport, Washington, and the Tokeland Hotel in beautiful Tokeland, Washington. I have a whole bunch of summer events I've planned. I went over them during the first hour, but briefly, if you go to my webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and you click on Summer 2015 Events, you'll see all the different wonderful things that I've been sponsoring or participating in this summer. We're supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted, and if you go to the website and click on it, there's an article, wonderful article I think you'll enjoy about communicating with spirits. I also do psychic readings. My accuracy rate for readings is between 90 to 100%. And if you'd like to contact me for a reading, that would be wonderful. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or my toll-free number in North America is 1-888-879-8339. Now let's go on to our guests. Elisa, are you there?
Yes, and you pronounced both my first name and my last name beautifully. You are one of the few. Congratulations. You're admitted to the Hall of Fame.
Well, your son Eric is here, and he's helping me vocalize your name correctly.
Good.
He said,
good.
"Mom, I just can't have a radio announcer mispronouncing your name."
I'm gonna apologize for my voice. I'm hoarse because I have a little cold. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's all right. You sound just fine. Just fine.
All right.
And we also very fortunate to have Jamie Butler on the line too. Jamie, are you there?
Hi. Yes.
So nice to have you on the show.
Wonderful.
I wanted to give a little bit about Jamie's background, and then we'll go back to Lisa. Let's see. Jamie grew up in Central Florida, where she studied psychic awareness with Marguerite Romneus. I hope that's pronounced correct, for 8 years. Marguerite taught her how to control her abilities, encouraged her to study Reiki. She received a status of Reiki Master 4 years later. After completion of a bachelor's degree at the University of Florida, you entered a massage and hypnotherapy certification in 1998 from the Florida School of Massage. She then relocated to Atlanta, where she lives today. And let's see. You've studied under always interesting and famous Dr. Brian Weiss, and you received a master hypnotherapist degree from New York Institute. And
yes.
After working worldwide with your readings, you decided to launch a company in 2001 called Love and Light LLC, to support, create, and inspire spiritual growth through public channeling, guest lectures, classes, and private sessions. And I
think this is so amazing to hear out loud.
Well,
thank you.
You've been busy.
Yeah, you've been busy. Wonderful. Wonderful to have you on as a beautiful light worker. And Elisa, you are a physician, mother of five. You practiced internal medicine in Houston, Texas for over 30 years. You're the author of 3 award-winning parenting books, Raising Children Who Think for Themselves, Hearing is Believing, How Words Can Make or Break Our Kids, and Raising Everyday Heroes. After the death of your 20-year-old son, Eric, you began journaling your grief in your blog, Channeling Eric. And because of your strong science background, you formerly viewed spiritual matters such as the soul survival of death with skepticism. But once Eric began to communicate with family, friends, and blog members, your entire paradigm shifted. And now you've shared your journey in your book, My Son in the Afterlife, Conversations from the Other Side. And Eric has authored his own book, My Laughter After Death, a memoir from heaven, and that's slated for publication on September 1st, 2015, in just a couple of months. And anyway, I wanted to welcome you both to the program. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for inviting us.
Well, this is really profound. I had on my first hour a gentleman named Garnet Schultheiser, who is a wonderful psychic up in Canada, one of Canada's best. And we went through had a lot of wonderful messages to give my audience. And Lisa, I want to start with you. How did this all start? By the way, I know my listeners would really enjoy your personal story. How you started on this spiritual journey?
Absolutely. Well, of course, when Eric died, my whole world fell apart. I was just, mm-hmm. as you can imagine, devastated.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And two things made it a lot worse. First, you know, I was raised by atheist parents. So mm-hmm. I wasn't atheist, but I just didn't really have any sort of concept about what happened after death.
Sure.
And then being a physician, you know, your education is so heavily steeped in science.
Sure.
That, and science teaches us that something's real only if you can touch it, hear it, smell it, you know, mm-hmm. perceive it with one of your senses, or at least measure it with an instrument. And so I didn't know how to answer that question. Is mm-hmm. Eric still around?
Mm-hmm.
But then everything changed when my father gave me a call 3 days after Eric's death. And let me just say that my father is kind of a militant atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's, or used to be, he's deceased now. A very angry atheist, and was very angry for people toward people who even intimated there was life after death.
Mm-hmm.
But he called me and said that, Elisa, I don't know what to think. Eric just appeared right in front of me. I was sitting in my chair reading a newspaper, and there he was.
Beautiful.
And then he changed into his little boy self and crawled up into my lap and said in Spanish, my father's from Spain, mm-hmm. things come in threes. So we never did figure that thing out, but he said, I'm so startled, I don't know what to believe.
Sure.
So if this happened to an atheist, a militant atheist, I thought, geez, I need to explore.
Right.
So I did. Mm-hmm. I researched everything I could understand on quantum physics, near-death experiences, the nature of consciousness, studies on consciousness survival, and so on. And, you know, eventually I just ran out of things to read. And the other things that were on my list were probably over my head anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that a lot of parents, I'd read that a lot of parents do seek out the help of a medium, sometimes out of desperation,
mm-hmm.
in order to make a connection with their loved one. And so I decided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I found Jamie.
Beautiful.
And she knew nothing about Eric, absolutely mm-hmm. nothing. She didn't know I even had a son or that he had taken his life, et cetera, but she was able to describe everything from the clothes he was wearing at the time, how he did it, where he was sitting, what kind of gun it was, and so on. And so I thought, well, that's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept booking session after session. And just to make a long story short, in that process, I also created a blog channeling Eric in order to share what came out of these sessions, but also to share all the amazing pranks and visits that Eric made on our family from 3 days or so after his death until the present. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Well, one of the messages he came shortly thereafter was he said in a joyous, you write it on page 13 of your wonderful book, My Son in the Afterlife. He writes, you write, I feel so wonderful. I'm so light and free. It's amazing here feeling. Here, Papa, feel. And then when mm-hmm. Eric reached out to grab his father's hands, he was overcome with this intense sense of intense euphoria, unlike any other sensation he'd had before, which is just amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I know that from my conversations, I've been in touch with my dad on the other side since he passed away in 1999, and you know, it's just as the physicality in the fifth dimension, where spirits are, where Eric is, it's just as real as it is here in the third dimension. And I know it's hard for sometimes people to wrap their minds around that, but there are other dimensions out there. I've been told actually there are 12 different dimensions, actually the 12th being the supreme being, or the God, if you will, the creator of all of this. We exist in the third dimension, the fourth dimension is time, and the fifth dimension and higher is where the spirits live. But anyway, I want to ask Jamie. Jamie, how did you get involved with this? And tell me about your first experiences with channeling Eric.
Oh, well, I was born with the abilities to see energy and hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had this understanding that everybody else in the world was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew up, I quickly found out that that wasn't the case.
Right.
And you quickly become quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But my family encouraged me, especially my grandmother, who mm-hmm. also has the abilities, it runs in our family,
mm-hmm.
encouraged me to make friends with it and see what I could do with it and help people.
Okay.
And I slowly created a career out of it. It was never what I thought I would grow up and do or right. create a business around, but
right.
it's extremely rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that I met Eric, I was actually on a vacation from Atlanta. I was down in Florida at my family's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to hide from my family and my kids because they can tend to be a little loud.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm up in the guest bedroom, and this young, thin, messy-haired, blue-eyed boy show up for my phone call, and he was so sweet. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, he's too young, really, is always my kind of gut reaction. It's just strange that we think death should only touch those that are older.
Right.
And when I heard Elise's voice and she began talking, this gorgeous, sweet, soft-skinned boy
mm-hmm.
started speaking up, and he was talking like a sailor
mm.
and with fragrant words and things mm-hmm. that I was so taken back. I was like, oh, my God, I cannot tell this to his mother. This is, you know, who wants their son talking like this? And Elise could hear my pauses, and she was so amazing. She's straightforward, and she was like, Jamie, you just tell me exactly what he's saying, word for word. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stuttering through these things. And she goes, oh, my gosh, that's Eric. That's how Eric talked.
Wow.
That's who he was. And you started to see this really unique and close relationship between mother and son, and discussing his passing and how they were going to find this new relationship where they were. And it was incredible. I remember after we hung up the phone in the first conversation, I just kind of fell into tears.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much, I'm sure, Ted, you've been put in the position where you just want to do so much more, but the timing is not there for you. It's
mm-hmm.
not appropriate at that moment, and you have to wait. And it
That's
just
true.
Broke my heart. And I was so happy when she called back,
mm-hmm.
and we've been able to continue this conversation, and she's made it public. I mean, so proud of Elisa for everything that she's put out there.
Oh, likewise.
Well, you know, there's no such thing as death. There really, that's what Eric's saying now on the other side. He said that you simply... We are all soul beings, and the spirit world is where we came from. And so, when this physical body dies, notice the term he's saying passes away. You pass on. You go on to another dimension, and you're still there. And for people who've lost any loved ones, or even family members, loved ones, pets, for example, they're still around you. Just because they've lost their body does not mean that they're gone. They're still here. They're still here. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, you write on page 31 about telephone calls. And could you explain that a little bit? Give me some examples of that. That's sort of interesting to... They have...
Oh, well, I had such an amazing experience. I can't remember how many months after Eric died.
Mm-hmm.
It was during... election. So we were getting all these horrible, you know, robocalls from different campaigns.
Sure.
And I was busy working on my computer, trying to concentrate, and concentrating is not my big forte anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
so I was getting frustrated because the phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing, and I thought, my gosh, when is the answering machine going to pick up?
Wow.
Finally it did, and I hear, Mom, it's me, Eric, it's me.
Oh, my goodness.
And oh, my God, I flew to the phone, picked it up. And there was nobody on the other line. It was too late.
Sure,
I was
sure.
too far away.
Sure.
But there's some interesting things here.
Wow.
First of all, it was like a 12-digit number, some weird number.
Uh-huh.
I called the number, and it was not a working number.
Uh-huh.
And and it also left no message on the machine, which is interesting. I mean, my answering machine picks up from the very moment it answers, so there was no message left. And Eric has done that on actual radio shows. And Ted... I would ask you to review the recording because we may hear Eric's voice. He does that sometimes. he will leave his voice. You won't hear it on the live recording, I mean, the live interview, but you'll hear it on the recording.
Oh, nice! I would love to review that. Actually, my brother, who only lived for a few days, I was born in 1954. My dear brother Robert was born in 1957, and he sometimes comes through telephone calls with me. He comes through and he has messages for me, and it's so beautiful to hear his voice. More often than not, I often see him in orbs. His spirit's blue, so if I see a blue orb, that's him, or a blue color. Sometimes he'll come out as a kind of a reddish orb. A few days ago, I took a picture of the sun just setting in this beautiful forest out where I live in Olympia, Washington, and the camera itself caught all these beautiful orbs in the picture. That's all my spirit family. I have about 10 to 12 angels around me, as well as some other beautiful spirits as well. So, but if you go to my website, I hope it's on there at www.outofthisworld1150.com in the Ask Ted column. But anyway, you can see orbs and the other phenomenon too is called EVPs, where people, for example, will take a tape, for example, and they'll record a conversation, or they'll put it in what's otherwise a quiet room, and you will hear spirits actually being recorded on the tape itself, and you can play those back.
And he's done that before. I remember one host called me after a show, and she said, "Look, I heard a voice on recording that was not there live." Mm-hmm. And so she gave me the timestamp. I listened, and there was this guy shouting out "Minions" really loudly. Huh? I mean, loud enough that you would not be able to miss it. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, Eric says, Eric's calling them Minions. Right away. So it's just stunning. We have the evidence.
Wow, fascinating.
Forever.
Fascinating. Well, you're speaking to the choir here, so you don't need to.
That's true.
I agree. I know you experienced that. One of the fascinating things you go through, he describes the death experience, actually, and then he goes through the life review. Would you mind? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that a little bit.
On his experience with the life review?
And the death experience as well. Mm-hmm. What he went through.
Well, the most comforting thing for a mother to hear is that his death was not painful.
Okay.
It was almost like he just shifted into another room.
Sure.
And he also felt very disconnected from his body. Now, I might be confusing some things with the new book and this book, but he did not feel an emotional attachment to it. Mm-hmm. He said he looked odd. His fingers even seemed too long. Mm-hmm. He just didn't look like the Eric he remembered.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of panicked, tried to get in his body again, but realized it was futile. And then, of course, his thoughts went to, "Oh gosh, my parents are going to find me," and that was very upsetting for him. But there was no emotional attachment to the physical form anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crossing over process. He crossed over into, if I remember correctly, a white room.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think this is coming from the second book. He saw a bunch of spirits behind a table who welcomed him, and some family members welcomed him too. It's an elaborate story, but I'll just give you the basics. And they said, "You are now going to enter your life review."
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was like a panoramic 360, you know, one of those cycloramas they used to have in the olden days.
Sure.
Where you can see 360 around you, and everything happens at a flash.
Wow.
He said everything from his birth, right before his birth, until his death, he could see in one flash, one instance, and he got all the emotions. He could see everything from other people's perspectives, too. So if he punched somebody out one day, he would experience that person's emotions and thoughts as well.
Hmm.
So you get it from 360, from everybody's perspective, all at once, and the purpose is to glean the lessons that you were to learn from those experiences.
Fascinating. 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 Jamie, I'd love your opinion on that, too.
Oh, Eric seems to be extremely consistent with other things that I've heard from other people who have passed away. But Eric just has this ability to really talk about it in a digestible way and kind of storyteller where you feel like you're in his shoes as he's experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And that really comes through in the book as well, which I think is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But with his death process, I remember him also talking about meeting spirits that would, like Callie, yeah, that mm-hmm. would talk to him and help him be able to see where he was completing the things that he wanted to,
mm-hmm.
like his own life lessons. And I even think he was debunking some of the things like karma, having a personal belief mm-hmm. in needing to get something done or else it would be a punishable act or you had to complete it somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
that there was no big governing system that made you behave this way, that it was really all about you and that how much you were really in control.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on his face to see that he had that kind of control that he couldn't find or seek when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept going back to having this mental peace and this clarity and this ability to feel everything that he wanted to feel that he just couldn't achieve on in his human body.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
those resonated really strong with me.
Well, I know that from my conversations with my friends on the other side, they have access to universal knowledge once they enter into the spirit state.
Yes.
And their personalities remain intact, but because of this this wonderful access to all these different bases of knowledge, they become far wiser. And if you can get a good psychic to tap into that, you've got such a wonderful gift to improve not only your life but also the lives of this entire planet as well.
Absolutely.
And that's why your work, Jamie, and your work, Elisa, is so important. And that's why the purpose of my radio program is to raise consciousness and let people know that there's a life beyond this one. You have a section in your book, by the way, on page 32 of Manifesting Objects from Thin Air, and I'd love to have you talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
That's also very interesting. I remember sitting in my chair watching TV, and all of a sudden I look at the ceiling. I don't know why I was drawn to do so, but a plastic airsoft BB, or pellet, I guess they call them, materialized at the ceiling and dropped to the floor and bounced at my feet.
Wow. Amazing.
At the foot of the chair.
Uh-huh.
And, sorry, once I asked him how he did that, he said what he does is he manifests with his thought, because he creates everything with thoughts.
Right.
The airsoft pellet.
Hmm.
And then he lowers the vibration, the vibrational frequency of it, until it's able to mm-hmm. enter the visible range of this long spectrum of energy called the electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where everything, all energy vibrates from mm-hmm. X-rays and microwaves and infrared rays and... And we occupy that tiny, tiny part called the visible range. It's mm-hmm. a very tiny sliver mm-hmm. of the entire spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that vibrates above and below that, we're not able to see.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to drop the frequency of the pellet into the visible spectrum for it to become matter.
Wow.
Matter's energy, too. It's just frozen light, as Einstein would refer to it.
That's true. It is. It is. I've often had the instance of my spirit family giving me pennies from heaven. For example, I'd be on a long trip, and I stop at a rest stop. I come back to my car, and there's a bright, shiny penny, heads up, right on the sidewalk that wasn't there before. And I know it's them. And they'll often give me pennies from heaven to let me know that they're there, and they're sending me lots of love, and or that I'm on the right track. And so I appreciate those little messages. I wanted to ask you too. You talk about that toward the end of your book. You have a very interesting discussion from Eric regarding love and fear, on page 241, and that life is driven by those two different emotions. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. If I remember correctly, Eric says that fear is the relative absence of love,
mm-hmm.
and love is all there is. Light is all there is.
Sure.
And it's just lower on the spectrum of light, fear is.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is is something that our ego creates.
Mm-hmm.
And it, of course, had a very important place when, as far as being able to survive, running from prey, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Predator, excuse me. But it's just another facet of love, because everything is love.
Sure.
And that's where there's no hell. Hmm. There can't be a hell, because that would mean there would have to be a separation from the light. Mm-hmm. And there is none.
Hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating. Jamie, I'd love your comments on that.
Yeah, how Eric always preaches there is no right or wrong or yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of his favorite little catchphrases with me is, get on the fence, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's degrees of things, but no absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because with absolutes, you're taking away the opposing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He loves getting into that.
And he does.
We could dive down this rabbit hole for a while. It's so fascinating.
You know, I'm
sure. I remember many times he's told me that, that's right, there's no right or wrong. Everything is just a lesson.
Sure.
So if something seems wrong in your life, it may be that it's just a lesson, something to glean and embrace and let go of.
I'm sure.
Change your perspective on.
Right.
And change your perspective on. That's right.
Right. I'm sure you're familiar with this famous quote, but it's from William Arntz's What the Bleep Do We Know, where he finished a feature, Dr. Emoto, among other wonderful people. And he, in the middle of the film, they kept asking, how deep down this rabbit hole do you want to go? So it's kind of interesting. You mentioned the same thing. I have to tell you, I was in Tokyo last month, and I was visiting the Emoto Peace Project there, and I gave it was just a wonderful time I had. I went to their Hato school. And one of the things that I experienced was their Hato vibrational machine. And the machine itself picks up on your emotions and past lives, and then it determines an appropriate treatment for whatever health or problem you may have. And the machine itself is extremely accurate, and it's very successful because it goes not only from this dimension but into the fifth dimension as well. I don't know how it works exactly, but it is very effective, and I've seen a success. But I'm looking at your various emotions based on love and fear on pages 243 and 244 of your wonderful book, Elisa. And it mentions in the fear column, you list as many fear-based emotions as you can come up with. And there's a whole bunch of them here, from abandonment to worthlessness. There must be maybe 30 or 40 emotions. And on the next page, in the love column, you've got emotions which are love-based, from acceptance all the way down to unity, happiness, harmony, honesty. And what's interesting is that this Hato machine also works on emotions, and it's got the same kind of table that it analyzes people in terms of their emotions, what's their current state, whether it's based upon fear or love. And the machine itself is extremely effective, and Eric is now saying it's effective because it ties into these emotions, whether fear or love, and how to correct them if someone has a health condition resulting from that. In ancient Egypt, I know 5,000 years ago, the Egyptian doctors back then always thought diseases were diseases. In other words, they'd split diseases into two different parts, disease. And so they always thought there was a spiritual cause for every illness. And I think as this planet continues to evolve into in a wonderful spiritual growth into the fifth dimension, that people will become more and more aware of the other side and how this can be used to help treat diseases in this third dimension.
I hear Eric shouting out. He calls you Teddy.
Oh.
He was like, Teddy, you and I need to get together and teach everybody that we're emotional beings.
That's the thing.
That's the definition that people are missing when they're describing themselves as being human. He goes, everything that you're doing in Tokyo and Japan is spot on about the disease, because it's handling the emotional vibration. He goes, so beautiful, but why isn't it out there more? He goes, thank God for you.
Well, thank you. How nice of him. I'm going to ask Eric if he'd like to go fishing with me on Sunday, and we can sit down and have a talk about this.
Yeah.
I'd like to meditate and go over some. I've got some materials from Professor Irvin Laszlo in Hungary. I'd like to go over with him, if that's okay.
He He would love that. Will you also be taking the motorcycle to go fishing?
Well, the problem is if I take it out in the water, it'll sink.
I hope he has better luck fishing with you than he has with other people.
Well, I go to a lake outside of where I'm living where the water is so clean you can drink it. And so there's, I don't know of any other lake that I can do that, but I go there and there's wonderful trout fishing. So I'm not going to mention it on air because then I'll have people from over 60 countries flocking to the same place. But it's a secret location, the secret spot. But anyway, I'd love to have, he said he'll be there. I've got a manuscript. Yep. I've got a manuscript from Professor Laszlo in Hungary, and it's on the nature of consciousness. And I've also been in touch with Professor Albert Einstein and Mr. Nostradamus from France. So he said he'd love to join the discussion. Yeah, I'm channeling messages from them to the manuscript and sending them on to Professor Laszlo in Hungary. So I would love to love to have his input.
He said this is going to be a world of fun.
Wonderful, wonderful. It'll be Sunday morning. He says it doesn't matter about the time. It only matters on your side.
You got it. That's what I picked. Yes.
Teddy, you're silly about the time because there's no time over there where he is. But I'm in my own construct. I have tons. I think I'll do it on Sunday morning. It's fine. He said that's fine. He'll be available. So good.
Mm-hmm. He'll pencil you in, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And I also have another project in Los Angeles I'll be working on, and he says he wants to help out on that too. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask him what he sees for the future of humanity. I'm always interested in that because I like telling people, you know, if I find it interesting to see what they see from their viewpoint. I guess it depends on choices, doesn't it? What kind of choices we make.
He's speaking up. He said, yeah, it does depend on choices. Mm-hmm. He goes, but we're also looking at a movement where science and spirituality are coming together, and they can now define each other, and these worlds are crossing.
Nice.
And that's going to shift a lot of the process thinking that we have installed within our humanness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to allow for logic to reign. It's going to allow for emotions to reign.
Interesting.
And we're going to start changing how we use our environment, how we use our structures, our needs for our regulations and our rules and our government.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a little while, but that's what's going to help us become more, what some people like to say, evolved or enlightened. I just think we say better people.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, Eric, that you mentioned science and spirituality, because I've listed a whole bunch of events that I planned for this summer. If you go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and you go to summer 2015 events, and I'm having trouble with one of the venues there out of respect for their privacy. I'm not going to mention them on air, but one of the venues said that they had trouble with some of my things I'm planning because it's not science based. And I've tried to tell them that I don't see a conflict with it, and that science and spirituality are coming together. But I think things can be resolved, and I hope that I can still have the events at where I'm planning on having them. But I think that that's true, that it's silly for us to make this artificial distinction between science and spirituality when actually they're two coins, they're two sides of the same coin. I think the science that sometimes people refer to is in the third dimension, and the spirituality that I'm talking about is in the fifth and higher dimensions. So they're all part of different dimensions, and I think we're actually on the same page in wanting the quest for knowledge and for truth. It's just that I'm getting a message now from Eric. He said that the Earth scientists who are stuck, in his words, stuck in the third dimension, they need to look beyond this dimension for their answers because they'll find it. And then they'll find answers beyond their wildest dreams to solve problems they never thought could be solved before. And that's Professor Einstein saying the same thing now. He said that we really need, from his perspective, of course, he's been working on the other side for quite some time since he passed away back in the 50s. And he said that Earth scientists need to look beyond this dimension if they're going to get the answers that they need to get. And they know it's hard. You know, a lot of the schools are stuck in this third-dimensional reality. But things are changing, and I think that certainly Elisa and Jamie, with your wonderful work, you're educating people as to the validity and the reality of the other side.
Thank you. Well, Eric mentioned a lot of different components of science and spirituality in the book as well. I know that, for one, he talks about how the soul is attached to the body via these little bitty structures called microtubules. And as a doctor, I know that these to be little hollow tubes in every cell that helps to maintain the integrity of the cell, but is also involved in cell division. And so in the hollow space, the scientists never understood why hollow. Well, that's where the soul attaches. And upon death, the friction buildup between the energy of the soul and the energy of the space in that microtubule until, you know, spark, whoosh, the soul can release from the body. In some cases, though, that goes awry, and the soul has trouble disconnecting from that hollow space, the energy in that hollow space, and the energy builds up more and more and more, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, spontaneous human combustion.
Really?
So that's what's behind the phenomena, spontaneous human combustion. So I thought that was very interesting.
Oh, that's fascinating. Now I've heard of stories too where sometimes there's like a silver cord between the soul and the person's body, and when that's severed, then death occurs. Is that all the silver cord? Is that an amalgamation of all these different little tubes together with the soul?
I don't know. He hasn't said that. Let's ask him now. Eric, what do you think? What is the silver cord?
He says, yeah, you could call it that.
Okay.
He says, but also when we're taking into consideration how easy it is for humans to manifest their thoughts and their needs,
right,
they have a hard time not believing that their soul is stuck inside the body or that it's tethered somehow, because everything that you experience as a human has gravitational pull, has an explanation of why it stays in place, because you hammered it down, because you screwed it in.
Right.
It's tethered.
Right.
So
right.
When we get down to the truth of the matter, if you really want to astral project, if you really want to take off, you don't need this cord.
Mm-hmm.
So this cord is slightly based on a human need to be connected, tethered, but also it is part of that cellular, he calls it hand-to-hand threading, so that you do have what is considered, air quote, a connection.
Fascinating. This is just fascinating. Actually, I want to thank Eric, and he's just said, you're welcome, because he's answering, you're helping me to answer some questions I actually had about the process and the connections between souls and our body. How fascinating is that? I know that when you reincarnate, often you will bring things back into your current reincarnated lifetime that you've had from other lifetimes. For example, I know that I lived back in the 1850s in Indiana as a banker. I was a banker, and I had always liked striped suits. So today, of course, I like striped shirts, striped pants. It's a proclivity that I've had for over 150 years, Eric's telling me. But it's interesting how that works.
He loves it. He goes, but Teddy, remember you can't say, he's laughing because that's a very aggressive word, but what you brought back from another life, he goes, come on, you and I know time isn't linear.
That's true.
He goes, but isn't the English language horrible, Teddy? He goes, it just doesn't give us enough words, enough description to really say what we want to express.
That's true, because where Eric is saying, because from his perspective in the fifth dimension, there's no time, and there's no past, present, or future. It just is.
Yeah, there's no reincarnations. They're just incarnations.
And they bleed between, the lives bleed between each other, I'm sure, is what you're seeing with the stripe, with the proclivity for stripes.
Yeah,
that's, I hope you weren't a prisoner.
No. I was a banker of all things in Indiana. 1856. I'm getting now. I can see that it's a dusty old town, and there's horse carriages everywhere. This is just before the Civil War, and boy, it's hot. It's a summer day. There's no air conditioning, and there's no cold Coke. The beer is warm. Anyway,
oh no!
Anyway, yes, it's tragic, but anyway, we've gone beyond that. But all of us have that. Elise, I wanted to ask you, now, Eric, have you found Eric visiting you in your dreams often enough? That's often a way that spiritual visit a loved one in their dreams.
He has on occasion, but the main communication I get from him,
uh-huh.
of course, are thoughts in my head, but also goosebumps. Hmm. I know he's around me. When he merges his energy with mine, there are these intense goosebumps that
wow.
build and build and build. It's almost like, I won't say painful, but just one notch below.
Wow.
And I know it's him giving me a hug.
Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Jamie, when you communicate with Eric, do you quietly meditate, but has he visited you in your dreams as well?
He does not mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. interfere with my dreamland, but he does an incredible job interfering when I don't expect him to be there. Lots of stunning pranks that just require such timing, it's uncanny.
Oh.
And a lot of times he'll just shout out and get my attention and, you know, kind of spook me when I turn around and he laughs and says, "Hey, how's your day?"
Oh,
and
funny.
Kind of goes away.
Oh, how funny. Oh, if you could share a little vignette, I'm sure my listeners would love hearing about that, if you could.
Oh, one of his amazing pranks?
Yeah. He wants you to tell a story. Pick one out. He wants you to pick one out.
His best one was, I was standing in the kitchen and I was cooking, and I'm not a great cook. My husband does all the cooking,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying, and I have mm-hmm. a gas stovetop. And you know how you can hear the gas come out? It kind of does a shh
mm-hmm.
sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I started hearing this shh sound, and I didn't have it turned on yet, and I could smell the stink. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I think I have a bust in the gas. So I'm walking around. I'm like, all right, don't go run to your husband. I want to look like I know something. I can take care of this, right? I'm coaching myself in my head, and I'm looking at the burners.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fire, but I can hear it, and I can smell it. And I'm like, oh my God, everything's turned off.
Wow.
And we have I just pulled out our iPad station or iPod for your phone, and you can play music, but I didn't have it on, and we never listen to the radio. We just use it to listen to our music on our phone, and nothing was plugged in. It was plugged into an outlet, but it wasn't
uh-huh.
on,
uh-huh.
nothing.
Sure.
So somehow, at perfect timing, I'm getting up next to the stove to really look for it, and then all of a sudden, boom, this huge, loud sound. He had managed to turn on this device, switch
wow.
it over to radio, because
wow.
we didn't have it on radio,
wow.
and turn the dial on the top of it to do full sound. It's a crank dial.
Oh,
and
wow.
it made this clicking and boom sound, and I thought, I swear to God, I hit the floor. I thought I caught on fire.
Oh, no.
I'm screaming and running down, calling for my husband's help. He comes in. I'm on the floor crying and screaming, fire, and I need help. And he goes,
Eric.
The radio's on. That was it. It was the radio.
He's laughing. He's just having fun. I mean,
hey, you owe him a lot of spankings when you get over there, Jamie.
I'm going to prank him till eternity. Like,
here we go. We'll tag team.
Oh,
he's
how
hysterical.
Funny. How funny.
He'll keep you on your toes. And often when people go to channelingeric.com,
mm-hmm.
they experience this, and they don't even read the part where he pranks people.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to the website, and all of a sudden, they have these stories, these smells.
Oh, wow.
He has this wicked way of making smells.
Oh, wow.
And sounds and closing computers and bringing up new screens.
Mm-hmm.
He's very tactile.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get back on the website, and then it's almost like they find comfort because there's a link on Elise's blog.
Wow.
That says, you know, Eric's pranks, share your story.
Oh, how
and they,
funny.
And they feel like they're a part of a community because they all have this prank from Eric.
Oh, how nice.
Well, some
how
of them
nice.
Get jealous if they feel neglected. But and I asked Eric, how can you do all these, carry all this mischief throughout the world
mm-hmm.
so much? Apparently, he's learned to split himself off infinitely, so he can be infinite Eric to do infinite damage.
Oh, how nice.
He will hide sunglasses, keys. Oh, gosh.
How nice.
He'll do all sorts of crazy things, and it has become quite a phenomena, really.
Well, he's wanted me to tell you, and I'm sure you know this, and my many listeners, that if you have lost a loved one here recently or in the past, that they never leave you. That love is the strongest force in the universe, and they are around you. And you have to, if you meditate, you can often come through and talk to them, or if you like, always contact a good psychic, because a good psychic who knows what they're doing can easily contact your loved ones on the other side, of course, with their permission. It's kind of like a telephone, Eric tells me. Sometimes they don't want to answer the phone. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. You know? So
they're screening your calls.
Yeah, they're screening the calls. Yes, screening the spiritual calls. I have to tell you a little story, a true story that happened to me last month in Tokyo. I was giving a channeling session from Dr. Masaru Emoto, wonderful spiritual man who passed away last October 2014. And anyway, I was giving these messages during this presentation in Tokyo last month, and there was a real nice lady up front who had a computer. She had her computer open, and suddenly on her computer screen appeared the notes for Ode to Joy, Beethoven's Ode to Joy, which was Dr. Emoto's favorite musical piece. Uh-huh. So then I played that song toward the end of the presentation, and I asked everyone in the room to send love and light to Dr. Emoto, and the whole place, a friend of mine took a picture, but the whole place lit up in this beautiful angelic light. It was very, very beautiful. And then later we had a water ceremony down in downtown Tokyo to honor him and his wonderful research. And there was a lady who was playing crystal bowls, and as she was playing, there was literally a beautiful white halo that just covered her entire body and the crystal she was playing. It looked like surreal. It looked like like someone had taken Photoshop and taken and put this glow around her, but it was the real deal. Looking at
how beautiful.
Yeah, it was very, very beautiful, very, very beautiful. So, and now my studio is getting lit up again. It's beautiful. It's all this bright light.
Great.
Everywhere, which is really nice. It's comforting.
Well, he's been very nice to you, because one of the first interviews we did, he locked the producer or the host out of their studio.
Oh no!
Between segments.
Oh, so, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
And well, he erased one of the segments, too.
Oh, my God.
He did.
Well, I've only, he knows my heart's pure, and I'm doing this to enlighten and raise consciousness. So he promised he'll be good today. Just told me.
Good.
I said thanks. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I should have mentioned this earlier, but for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. And we're having a fascinating discussion today with Elisa Medhus and her wonderful friend Jamie Butler, who's a psychic. And we're talking to her son Eric, who passed away years ago, but he's with us today and he's on the air with us now. I was going to say, I mentioned this earlier, but maybe I need to ask it again. What kinds of things does he see for the future for humanity and around the world next couple of years and in the future?
Oh, he's jumping in and saying beyond the science and spirituality merging to support each other. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lot more mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you can take that definition straight from the mindfulness theory if you would like, therapy. And okay. This kind of awareness for life and not taking concern over what the impact is.
Okay, pardon me for saying this, but it's better not to say any profanity on air. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes, sorry,
my friend. That's okay. No worries.
That's the hardest thing with Eric.
I know.
Listening to him and just repeating so quickly.
Okay, that's okay. That's all right. That's all right, Eric. We just, it's one of the things we don't do here at the station. But anyway, go ahead. You didn't realize that. Go ahead.
When we're taking actions in our environment, that we now discover we have a relationship with it. And it's not this kind of cause and effect thing that we teach so readily within school.
Mm-hmm.
It is a respect thing. Mm-hmm. It takes it to a whole new level.
Okay.
And it's going to be a slow, sweeping motion.
Sure.
It's not just going to be for those who are having higher status or more money or more wisdom or knowledge.
Sure.
The slow, sweeping thing is going to overcome those who can connect to emotions easier. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have money to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be of a certain status or live somewhere special. But this is going to be a really unique movement because it's broad. mm-hmm. but it's for those who are sensitive feeling.
Hmm. Nice. Nice. Well, this actually fits in with Garnet Schildhauser, who was on my first hour, and my wonderful guest Ariana, who was on a week ago today on my program, about being more sensitive and realizing that whether you're human or an animal or a plant or the Mother Earth, we all deserve respect and be treated with kindness, love, and compassion.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding, ding. He hits the bell. He loves that. Yes, he agrees with everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I heard my headphones were clicking here a few minutes ago, and I think it was Eric chiming in on that. Well, what are your plans, Elisa? Are you planning on doing another book in the future? You mentioned that, didn't you? Was there another book in the future?
Yeah. I really don't know.
Uh huh.
Yet. Okay. I just want to get through this book. I'm just so excited about this second book.
Right.
I'm so proud of Eric. It's written by him. Everything is channeled through Jamie from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just jaw-dropping, page-turning.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically his memoirs from right before his death to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you finish this book, mm-hmm. you know exactly what's going to happen to you after you die, when you die and after you die, where you're going to be, what it looks like, what you're going to do there, what you can do there. So it's just absolutely a fascinating read, and I just couldn't be prouder. It just makes me think about the times in elementary school when I couldn't get that kid to put three sentences together for a story for mm-hmm. a homework assignment. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
things have changed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 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 Well, I know I there's probably people out there, too, who thinks that once you die, and that's it. You know, there's no heaven, there's no afterlife, but obviously there is, and you've given some wonderful, compelling evidence for that in your book.
Well, yeah, you're right. We have, 73 million baby boomers that are now getting to the age where they grapple with their own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us in this age group have parents who are dying or have died, so
right.
it's become a very, very popular question.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, really,
sure.
when we die?
Sure, sure, sure. I just want to take this opportunity. We've got a couple minutes left, but I want to thank you. We're going to continue the interview, but I just want to thank you before we run out of time for coming on today. And next week, a week from today, we'll be interviewing Dr. Shah, S-H-A. He's one of the world's most famous spiritualists. We'll be interviewing him from Toronto, Canada. And more details will be found on our website next week at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And I know that people will be very interested in seeing your new book, Elisa, that's coming out. And there's a lot more than meets the eye as far as reality goes. I'd love to have you talk about consciousness as well. I know you've got a chapter in your book about consciousness.
Well, for one thing, he says that the soul is pretty much consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
He says that. Well, actually, I can't really remember. It's been so long, but
mm-hmm.
Tell me, Jamie, what he said, or Eric, can you reiterate something like the soul is a store and the consciousness are windows or that open and close, and when they're closed, you have the subconscious. Maybe Eric can sort of refresh my memory.
He says, Mom, you're talking about the higher consciousness and consciousness connecting all the incarnations that we've decided to live, like we talked about the bike wheel.
Well, we could do that. Go for that. But it's been a long time since I read my own book. I've been focused so much on your book, Eric. But yeah, let's enlighten.
We got about 30.
The audience and me.
Got about 30 seconds left. Go ahead and you can quickly mention
he just
it.
Says the soul is the slice of the energy ball that consists of you,
mm-hmm.
and that slice is just a part of the consciousness of the life you've decided to live,
mm-hmm.
and that it all connects back to higher consciousness of you,
mm-hmm.
as you're a part of all that is. He goes, is that okay, Teddy?
That's fine.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. And I just want to say that we are all sparks of the Supreme Being, and we're all unique in this universe. There's no one else like you out there. Lisa and Jamie, thank you so much for coming on today, and I hope you all have a fantastic, happy weekend. Bye-bye, friends.